Morning, my name is Lori Grossfield. I work here at Ponderay County Conservation, and I'm going to do my second interview for From the Ground Up, Montana Women in Agriculture, the Oral History Project. And the person I'm interviewing today is named Barb Habits, and it's Monday, August 15th, 2016, here in Conrad, Montana. And Barb, do you want to tell a little bit about your birth or date of birth, place of birth, or if you were on a farm or a ranch when you were growing up?
I was actually born in Conrad, though we never lived here. I grew up mostly in Lewistown, Montana. And when I was in high school, my folks moved to Bozeman, and I went to university there, and that's where I met my husband, Mike. And after we graduated, we came back to the farm, and it's been a good life.
That's very nice, Barb. Were your parents farmers or ranchers?
My parents were not. My dad worked actually for Soil Conservation Service and was very instrumental in the salinity studies. But I did not grow up on a farm. When I came to the farm, there were a lot of surprises.
Well, maybe we'll get to hear about some of those. Let's see here. I'm going to go on to page 2. I'll just ask a couple more things about your family. What were their viewpoints on conservation and agriculture for your parents?
Well, as I said, my dad worked for Soil Conservation Service, so he was very interested in conservation and agriculture, and was very interested when we moved to the farm in visiting and being kind of involved. In fact, after he retired, he would come and help us with harvest.
Wow. Did he like it out here in Conrad?
He loved it. He grew up in Nebraska on a farm, and I think this kind of reminded him of that area.
That's awesome. Let's see. Was there a division in labor between your mom and dad?
Well, they never farmed. Dad, as I said, worked for the government, and mom held different jobs off and on, but they were a unified front, believe me.
Okay, I'm going to go ask just a few quick questions about your grandparents, or any of, even if it's great-grandparents. Were any of them homesteaders?
They were not. I had shared the story with you about my mother's father, who was half owner in a bank in Iowa, and when the depression hit and there was a run on banks, he used his personal fortune to pay his depositors. His partner took his money and ran, and he owned some farm ground in Montana, and that's how they ended up here. They came on the train from Iowa to the farm in Judith Basin County, and I'm not sure how many years they were there, but my grandfather was not suited to farming. He had been raised in a different environment, and they weren't on the farm for a long time, but that's the only people in farming in my background.
Oh, I'm so glad we remembered to get that part in the interview. That is really wonderful story about your grandfather and what he did. So now we kind of know where they were born and where they worked and their influence on your childhood.
My grandfather had died by the time I was born, but my own father died when I was 7, and Grandma came and lived with us so my mom could work, and she had quite an influence on me, but not anything related to agriculture.
Okay. Let's see, and were you in a very big family? Were there very many children?
No, I was not. I had two brothers and a stepbrother.
Okay, and let's see here. Well, now I think we'll, go on to your schooling. Did you go to a rural school?
I did not. I went to grade school through sophomore year in high school in Lewistown, and then finished high school in Bozeman.
Okay. you met your husband, was he a farmer then when you met him?
He was not. In fact, when I met him, he swore he would never come back to the farm. But then after we graduated from college, we were married by then, his dad contacted us and wanted Mike to come back and take over the family farm. And by then he had realized that he liked working outside and he was very interested in being his own boss.
Okay. And I'm just looking over some things that might help you to remember something. Are there any fond memories during your early years as a young couple?
Oh, there are lots of fond memories. When we first came to the farm, I couldn't identify a baler from a swather from a truck almost. And I took a lot of ribbing because of that. And then my husband was always the great kidder and set me up for embarrassment a few times. One of the times was that when we were on our honeymoon in Washington and driving through farm country, and he said, they combine these fields with a side hill combine. And I said, what's a side hill combine? He said, well, it's a combine that has a great big wheel on one side and a little tiny wheel on the other side, and it can only go around the hill in one direction. Well, I thought that was perfectly logical. So a few years later, when we were on the farm, my father-in-law came in, and he'd been reading an article in a farm magazine about side hill combines, and he said to my husband, did you see the article on side hill combines? And without letting my husband answer, I piped up and said, I know all about those. They have a great big wheel on one side and a little bitty wheel on the other side, and they can only go around the hill in one direction. And my father-in-law stood there looking at me, trying to decide whether I was being serious or not. And then, of course, he and my husband were rolling on the floor laughing. So there were a number of occasions where my husband set me up to,
I should say,
make a fool of myself. But it was always, always fun.
Oh, my goodness.
Eventually, I have to say, as the years went on, I became more and more involved in the farm to the point where one year I seeded the winter wheat in the fall. I don't remember why my husband didn't do it, but I did the seeding in the fall. And then the following summer, I was the one that combined what I had seeded. And my husband said to me, now you understand. You've seen the beginning and the end. You've done it yourself.
Oh, wow.
So it was very gratifying to me.
Was it, you know, just being a big nosy thing here, was it a good yield and everything?
I have no idea. I imagine it wasn't bad. For me to have been on the combine meant that it had to have been swathed, because I never learned to straight cut. I only picked up swaths. So I couldn't honestly tell you what the yield was. I don't recall specific years of yield. No. I know we've had good and bad.
Oh, yes.
And we always seem to get by just fine. When we had a really good year, and this is another story, my husband said to me a few years back, we had a really big crop and prices were up, and he said, now, Barb, we've got a lot of money this year, so I want you to really be careful about how you spend. And I laughed at him, and I said, don't I get that lecture the years we don't have any money? He said, well, it's even more important when we have a lot of money, because it's easier then to blow it on needless things. And I said, so in other words, it doesn't matter what our crop is. I have to be careful what I spend. And he said, pretty much.
Oh, my gosh, I sure like his sense of humor. I think I like it. He sounds pretty intelligent. Let's see here. How would you describe your lifestyle to a non-agricultural person?
I would describe it as very gratifying. It allowed us to raise our family in an environment where we were very involved with them and they with us. And my husband was able to attend things at school for them. And they were able to see his line of work up person close and all. And it was always, we always considered it a family project. And I would say that to a non-agriculture person, I would just say, you really have to experience it to understand, because there's so much that goes into it. And our children have fond memories of growing up on the farm, which to me is a wonderful thing. A lot of families are under a lot of stress during harvest, and that was never the case at our farm. My husband always considered harvest a time of celebration. That was the culmination of your hard work for the year, and harvest has always been fun on our farm, and a lot of playfulness, hard work, but not to the point where people were tense or snapping or anything. It was a great environment to raise a family and to live in, and like I said, we had feast and we had famine, but throughout it all, I can't remember what years were what.
Oh, you lucky dog. I'm just looking ahead here at the questions. Are any of your children interested in farming or ranching?
Our son was very interested in coming back to the farm, and we did not encourage that. He has a job with the federal government. He works for the Department of Agriculture in agriculture statistics. And what we saw in the future is that the day of the small farmer is done. And we were not willing to go into debt to buy more land and more equipment so that he could farm. Our position was to just try to stay on top of things and have enough money for our retirement, rent the farm out, and when he gets a federal retirement and can support the farm, then he can come back and be a hobby farmer. But we have not encouraged him to think that he wanted to try to support his family, because our farm is not big enough to support a growing family and us as well. So it would mean going into debt, and we simply were not willing to do that. He has a wonderful job and does well at it, and we think that that's really better for him and his family.
That is excellent. Have any grandchildren been taught any lessons?
Our grandchildren are still small enough that they don't really understand agriculture or farming.
Okay, and then I'm going to get to conservation here, and ask your views on conservation with your ranch or the operation of the farm, etc.
I think conservation is extremely important. My husband has been involved in different projects to make our farm run better with regard to conservation, and is a good husband of the land, and it's always at the forefront of his mind. He will point out, in fact, other farmers who do a good or not so good job of conserving, and I can tell by his tone of voice which ones he respects.
That is very good. Have you seen some changes involving conservation in your lifetime?
There have been a lot of changes. We, for example, have buried main lines for our irrigation now. We have pivots. My husband planted hay because of salinity problems. He has been involved in the CRP program. We have basically tried everything we could to enhance our, well, going from summer fallow to chem fallow, to me, was kind of a heartbreaker. I love the looks of summer fallow, but of course, it's the better practice. I couldn't convince my husband to stay with summer fallow.
Okay, I've heard about that. How did you instill conservation values into your children?
Well, it was always discussed at our dinner table, and our dinner table was where we communicated with our children and traded ideas. And one of the things that we really emphasized to them was water conservation, because we realize the value of the water and think that it will be our most valuable resource in the years to come. My husband has been involved in a salinity group and is the chairman of the board of directors of Tiber Water District, and that was the thing that I think our kids would probably say was drilled into them the most.
That's very good. Do you have some viewpoints about your land's future?
I do. As I said, I think the day of the small farmer is done. The equipment has become so large that you need a lot of acres to be able to support the equipment, and I believe that my children would like, our children would like to keep the farm in the family, but I don't believe that any future generations of our family will sustain a main living from the acres that we have. I think it's a case of, as I said, having to buy more acres and taking on big debt, and we would rather not do that. So the future of our land is pretty clear, although I don't believe it will be sold.
Those are very good points, Barb. Do you think women view conservation different from men?
I don't really know that I can answer that. I know my view is taken from what my husband has taught me, so my view would have to pretty well dovetail with his.
Let's see here. I'm just going to see if I can get the right question to finish up the interview. From the Ground Up is an oral history project collecting stories about Montana agricultural women. And it's not meant to diminish the importance of men, but capture the unspoken voice of women. Does that trigger any thoughts that could maybe go with this history project about women in agriculture?
Well, I believe that women play a huge part, for the most part, at least the women that I know in agriculture, are definitely partners with their husbands. I helped work cows, I calved with him, I worked summer fallow, I seeded, I combined, I have done most of the jobs that there are on the farm. My husband's aunt said to me one time when it was too late, "Don't learn anything you don't want to know for the rest of your life, because as soon as you learn a job, it's yours." And there is an element of truth to that. Boy, once you learn how to do something, there's always a need for help. And I believe that most women on the farm are truly partners with their husbands and have as an important role in it as the husbands do.
That is an outstanding example of women in agriculture for this oral history project. Thank you so much, Barb.
You're welcome.